Thank you for being here once again. Our handout sheets are on the table in the at the entrance if you need one. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we are, and this morning we are looking at verses 14 to 17. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 17. And these verses are in your notes as well as in your Bibles. Look with me at verse number 14, which we've looked at in the past. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. The Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Now there's a continuing thought here. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And here's the example, verse 16. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." This morning we are going to look at a lesson entitled "The Cost of Quitting." Now God has seen fit to give us a whole chapter of examples of people who did not quit. Now does that sound a little bit loud? Put it down a bit. People who didn't quit. People who did not give up the Christian life. They did not drop out of the race. But what the what God gets our attention with this morning is that He does give us one example of someone who did quit. And in their example, God shows us the high price of quitting. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever felt like dropping out of the race? Have you ever felt that it's too hard to live the Christian life? Well, we need to not soon forget that there is a cost to quitting. When Jesus says He is the author and finisher of our faith and we are to run the race that is set before us, that is a serious calling. Sometimes we think, well, it will be okay to quit and nothing bad will happen if I quit. I just won't be in the race. That's not necessarily true. Yes, the race is hard. Yes, it is difficult. And yes, God's chastening hand, would you agree? It does hurt at times. It certainly does. But we have to stay in the race at all costs, amen? Because the cost of dropping out, brethren, is too high. The cost of dropping out is too high. And we see that vividly illustrated here in chapter 12 from the life of Esau. And God gives us a two-sentence summary of the tragic consequences of dropping out of God's school of faith. Now, the good news is, we don't need to drop out. And the better news is, if we do drop out, we can always re-enroll back in the school of faith. Amen? We can always get back in the race. But there is a high cost to dropping out. And we're going to look at some changes that occur in your life and mine when we choose to drop out of God's school of faith. All right, notice Roman numeral number one. When we drop out of God's school of faith, we will experience a change of goals. Your first blank is the word goals. If you miss any blanks, they're on the back page at the bottom. So Roman numeral number one, the word is goals. We will experience a change of goals. The Bible says in verse 14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness." And holiness. Last week we looked at the path that God wants us to run. It is a path of holiness. We are to run the race that is set before us. Now here, in the example of Esau, why was it important for Esau to follow peace with all men and holiness? Well, as we remember the example of Esau, would you agree that his home was not a very peaceful home? There was strife in the home. Do you remember when we learned about Isaac and his two sons, Jacob and Esau? Remember, Esau was one of the twins born to Isaac. And both of them were born and the parents had to wait 20 years before they could have children. And God said to them, not only will you have a son, you will have twins. But God also reminded Rebekah and Isaac that one will rule over the other. Who can remember this morning which one would rule over the other? The younger shall serve, the elder shall serve the younger. That's right. It would be Jacob that would rule over Esau. That was God's plan. That was God's plan before either of them were born. And as Esau grew up in the home, Esau was very different from Jacob. Esau was Isaac's favorite son, and they were more like the outdoors kind of men. Jacob was more of an indoors kind of man, and he was at home with mum, and he was doing things inside the home. There was a difference between the son, but none of these differences should have been a problem in the home. Of course, as parents, we need to be careful not to prefer one child over another. That was an increasing problem in the home. Esau did not have, as a consequence, a very good relationship with his mother or his brother, but he did have peace with his father. Now, pay close attention to what happened to Esau. Suddenly, in the family, there came a time where the peace was gone. Jacob lied. Rebekah schemed with Jacob to get Isaac to give Jacob the blessing instead of Esau. But notice what happened to Esau. He allowed the events that took place in his family to knock him out of the race. Do you remember last week and the week before we talked about how most Christians are knocked out of the race because of other people? Because of other people. That's usually the reason you and I drop out of the race, because we're discouraged or we've been hurt or others have hurt us. Now, Esau certainly was hurt, wasn't he? Now, by no means was he innocent. Remember how he sold his birthright to Jacob, which we'll see later on. But the Bible tells us that Esau was offended. He was hurt. He was lied to. He was deceived by his own mother and his own brother, wasn't he? Now, what would you and I have done in that situation? Well, let's look at what Esau did there in your notes. Genesis chapter 28. Can you see those verses there under Roman numeral number 1? Genesis 28 verses 8 and 9. Notice what Esau did as soon as he was offended. Verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, and the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife." Now what Isaac did, he said to Jacob, "All right, Jacob, you're not to marry any women of the land of Canaan. I want you to go away to where my relatives are, and you are to find a wife of the seed of Abraham, one of God's people." Now, Esau, when he was offended and he was angry and others had hurt him, notice what he did. How did he drop out of the race? Well, he changed his goals. His goal was no longer to have peace in the family. His goal was no longer to maintain that peace. In fact, the Bible tells us he didn't care about his family anymore. He realized that Isaac did not like his sons to marry the women of Canaan. So what did he go ahead and do? He went and married Canaanite women. Why? Because his goal was to get revenge. His goal was to get revenge upon the very person he once wanted to please, and now he wanted to bring them pain. You see, that's what happened to Esau. That's what happened to Esau. He no longer wanted to follow peace with all men. He no longer wanted to follow God's path of holiness. And what Esau did, and he did not realize at that stage, he was quitting. He was forfeiting his place in the race. He was giving up on God, on his family, and he quit the race. Why? Because of other people. And that's a warning to us this morning, isn't it? See, so often we don't realize how easy it is to drop out of the race. When something happens to us and maybe someone does something to us, too often we have the attitude, well, it's okay to just be angry and to be vengeful and to think bitter and angry thoughts. We don't realize where that will take us. You see, for Esau, it knocked him out of the race. He became an angry man. He became a bitter man. And verse 14 tells us not to just follow peace with other people, but also to follow holiness. If we are following God, we can have peace with others. If we are at peace with the Lord, we can have a measure of peace with even those that hurt us. And the Bible tells us that Esau did not respond in the right way. Now, as we deal with the subject of chastening, it's interesting because what happened to Esau, you might say that was totally unfair. It was totally uncalled for. But remember, who was in control this whole time? God. God was dealing with Esau. He wasn't perfect either, by the way. He sold his birthright to Jacob before this tragic event happened. And God was dealing with Esau. God was bringing Esau to repentance. God was chastening Esau through this situation to cause him to turn back to God. But instead, what did he decide to do during this time of chastening? He decided to turn away from God. You see, that's the warning to you and I. See, there is a high cost to pay if we drop out of the race. If we choose to decide, if we adopt this victim mentality, and we'll see further on more about this, but Esau could have responded differently. He could have. Would you agree? He could have chosen, I know it was terrible what happened to him, but he could have chosen not to quit. He could have looked to the author and finisher of his faith and kept his eyes upon the Lord and said, okay, God is in control. He still has a race for me to run. Perhaps Esau could have been included in chapter 11 of Hebrews, chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. But he wasn't. Isaac was. Jacob was. But Esau stands today as an example of one that dropped out of the school of faith that you and I are to be cautioned by this evening, this morning. If we drop out of God's school of faith, then we lose the goal of becoming like the Lord Jesus Christ. We lose that goal. Our goals change in life. So let me encourage you to be warned. A change of goals will take place when we drop out of the race. What is your goal this morning? I trust it is not the goal of revenge. I trust that you're not sitting in the seat of bitterness and all your time at home is taken up by how you can get back at those who have offended you. Friend, if that's you this morning, you've long time ago dropped out of the race. And God wants you to get back in. Notice Roman numeral number two. Not only will we have a change of goals, but we'll have a change of sight. What we see in our lives will change. A change of sight. Your blank is the word sight. Now notice verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, this letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, who is it written to? Believers or unbelievers? Let us run the race, the Lord says. Believers, that's right. We're the only ones that can run the Christian race. Believers, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. So seeing the Lord in verse 14 doesn't mean salvation. That's not what the Lord is speaking about here. We lose our ability to see God when we drop out of the race. That's what happens. When you and I choose to drop out of the race, would you agree that we lose the ability to see God's working in our lives? You see, Esau chose to quit. And he lost sight of the fact that it wasn't Isaac, it wasn't Jacob, and it wasn't even his mum that was in control. It was God that was in control. Isaac had forgotten that the elder shall serve the younger. He'd forgotten that, and God needed to fix the situation. God did not cause them to lie. They fell into their own sin, but God was still overall in control. And Esau forgot about that. He forgot about that. And he started to look around and do what you and I do so often. We say, Lord, why is this happening to me? Lord, I don't deserve this. Lord, I don't want this. And what are we saying to God? We're saying to God, I don't like your chastening hand. Because see, at the end of the day, God is in control. He's allowed what he has allowed into our lives for a reason. But what happened to Esau? His choice to drop out of the race blinded his sight. He could no longer see God's working in his life. And that's where you and I will end up when we choose to quit. We'll get knocked off the track, we'll be offside and blinded. I think there's a phrase that's similar to that. Blinded and offside. You know, we are off the track and we can't see where we're going anymore and we can't see God's work in our lives. We lose our sight. We lose our discernment to what is going on in our lives. Notice verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, here's a question. Does God's grace ever fail? Yes or no? No. So I've got to think about that twice. Does God's grace ever fail? No. It doesn't fail. But we can fail of the grace of God. When we stop running the race, we can't see how it could be possible for God's grace to help us in this situation. Would you agree? When we give up, when we say, Lord, I've had enough, and we drop out of the race, we can no longer see the power of God's grace to lead us through. Can I encourage you this morning that God's grace was sufficient for Esau? He may not have thought that it was possible to rise up in victory out of this situation, but let me assure you that God's grace is sufficient for Esau, was sufficient for Esau. And God's grace is sufficient for us. He is able to give us His grace. What does grace mean? His power, His strength to overcome the trials of life, to endure the chastening of God. That he could no longer see the grace of God that was available to him because he chose to quit. He chose to drop out. He took revenge on his family. That was his choice. That's how he dropped out. So you see, if we drop out, not only there'll be a change of goals, but a change of sight. You know, if you had asked Esau why he was angry, he would have said, well, my mother is a crook. That's probably what he would have said. My brother is a liar. My dad is so dumb that he fell for it. Jacob tricked me out of my birthright and stole my blessing. Why wouldn't I be mad? You might say, well, he had a right to be mad. Okay. But what Esau could not see is that the root problem was not what others had done to him. It was his heart and his relationship with God. That was the problem. Follow peace with all men. How can we do that? If we are following God, we can. Yes, Esau was not treated right, but God's grace would have been sufficient for him to overcome that. But he failed to live by the grace of God that would have been given to him if he would have simply asked. Amen? If any man ask of God, God will give him wisdom. The Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may be able to find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. As God's people, we can come boldly. But Esau said, no, I'm going to take revenge. I hate my family. I'm out of this. I'm leaving. And I'm going to kill my brother if I ever see him again. Esau was a bitter man. You see, that's the consequence of what happens to a Christian that chooses to drop out of the race. A lack of sight. Maybe you've tried to help a Christian in the past, and they're just not listening. Have you ever been there before? Have you tried to help someone? Maybe it was you, in fact. And you just didn't want to listen to counsel. Or you tried to counsel someone and say, look, there is hope. God's grace is sufficient. But they've held on to that bitterness and anger and not allowed God back into their lives. That's what can happen to a Christian. Friends, this is a caution from God. God says, Christian, be warned. This is what might happen to you. You might be the next one to drop out of the race. A change of sight. It's interesting what happens when we drop out of the race. We can't see God anymore. We can't see that His grace is sufficient anymore. We are blinded. But notice the consequence in verse 15. Lest any root of what springing up? Bitterness. Wow. Bitterness. If any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The natural consequence of quitting first is what? Bitterness. Bitterness. Now here's the problem. When you and I quit the race, we have a change of sight. We can't see God anymore, and we can't see ourselves as we are anymore. And you see, Esau didn't realize that he became a bitter and angry man overnight. Why could he not see it? Because he had a change of sight. He was blinded to his own sin. And when you and I become a bitter person and an angry person, Would you agree? Maybe you don't want to agree, but the reality is that too often than not, we don't see it ourselves. Many times in our lives, someone else has to tell us, hey, you've become a better person. And by the way, that's what a Christian friend will do. Amen. That's what a Christian friend will do. Iron sharpeneth iron, the Bible says. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. It's not just the pastor's job to rebuke and to correct. No, the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. And we are being deceitful if we don't help a fellow Christian. If we just say, hey, everything's fine. No, that's deceitful. And there are times where we need to encourage one another, and that's what happens in a marriage relationship. Sometimes the husband doesn't see the bitterness in his heart, and the wife has to say, hey, you've become bitter. Or vice versa. Or in a child's life in the family. Or a brother and sister. You see, Esau needed to be rebuked. Esau didn't realize he'd become bitter. And when you and I drop out of the race, that's what will happen. We'll become bitter. We'll become angry. That seed of bitterness will have been planted by an offense. And yes, it might have been caused by others. But because we choose to drop out, because we choose to give up, we can no longer see the work of God in our lives. That is great. His grace is sufficient. But something happens with that root of bitterness. Notice verse 15. The root of bitterness doesn't just remain a small seed in our hearts. What does it do? It springs up and it troubles our entire lives. And notice also, it affects everyone around us. Esau was blind to the sin he brought into his own family. Would you agree this morning that there is a high cost to dropping out? Wow, the example of Esau. What a stirring example. What a convicting example. Bitterness. Bitterness as a result of what people have done for us. You might say, hey, I've got some bitterness, but I'm still in the race. God says, no, you've not. No, you've dropped out a long time ago. And you just didn't realize it. You're not in the race. That's why you're not joyful in the Lord. That's why you're not serving God. That's why you're not leading others to Jesus Christ, because you are out of the race. You've dropped out. You dropped out long ago. And God is calling those who have dropped out to re-enroll in the school of faith. Amen. To come back to the Lord. Yes, bitterness will knock us out of the race. Why? Because we can't experience peace with all men if we are bitter. If we are holding on to that anger and unforgiveness, we can't experience running the path of holiness. And Esau chose to quit. You know, just for a moment, let me talk about Esau. Esau's ascendants became known as the Edomites. The Edomites. When you read of the nation of Edom in the Bible, do you read of them being a people that loved the people of God or hated? Who can remember? Were the Edomites friends with the nation of Israel? Yes or no? No, they weren't. They were bitter enemies of Israel. That's what happened. Yes, I know Esau forgave Jacob later on, but the Edomites went on and held on to that bitterness that Esau experienced. And they became bitter enemies of the nation of Israel, and they still are today. Modern day Jordan is where the Edomites live. And I dare say this morning the consequences of dropping out are much greater than you and I can possibly think. You know, when a Christian parent who is saved drops out of the race, carries that bitterness into their children's lives, what happens? Many of those children, in effect, may never even be saved. In their young lives as they grow up, perhaps they'll never go to church. They'll never hear the gospel, and then the next generation will grow up, a generation that knows not the Lord. That's the consequence. And as adults and as young adults this morning, we have a responsibility to make sure we run the race. Because our dropping out does affect others. If you fail to appropriate the grace of God and stay in the race, the consequences are severe. And they're long-suffering. They are. And our failure will contribute to the failure of others. That's an awful thing to happen to a runner in the race. And God tells us in His Word. Why? Because He doesn't want us to drop out. And if we have, He doesn't want us to stay
on the sidelines, amen? Blinded and confused. He wants us to get back in the race. All right, notice Roman numeral number 3. There'll be a change of goals, a change of sight. Thirdly, a change of values. A change of values. What changes will take place if you and I drop out of the race? Well, our values will change. That's your third blank. Verse 16, the Bible says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The word fornication is where we get our word pornography from. Esau was a fornicator. He became an immoral man. He fell into perverse sexual sin. That's what happened to Esau. The word profane is a word that you and I identify with cursing or with the slander, profanity. That's how we understand the word. But the word profane, in fact, means to put that which is holy under our feet, to stamp on it, push it down. That's what Esau did. He took that which he once valued, and now he chose to trample his feet upon it. Profanity. Fornication. These are serious words. And these are serious consequences. You see, the Christian that drops out of the race, oftentimes because of what people have done to them, they fall into bitterness, they fall into unbelief, and they fall into sins that they would have never even gotten into if they had not have dropped out of the race. See, when you and I quit the school of faith, our values change so much that we are even willing to give up our purity and pollute our lives. Friend, when you and I allow perverse sin into our lives, that is the evidence that we've dropped out of the race. We're not in the race anymore. Long gone. We are out. We are on the sidelines. We have become profane. We have become unholy. See, that's what happened to Esau. Can it happen to a Christian? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Absolutely. This is not a picture of salvation. Some people believe that these verses refer to salvation. I do not. Chapter 12 is written to the Christian to run the race. And we are given an example of someone who quit the race, who gave up on God, who allowed bitterness to take hold. And see, it doesn't stop there. It springs up and troubles our lives. Bitterness begins in the heart, but it leads to physical, outward immorality. That's what happened to Esau. Why is it that some Christians today are not in church, are not seeking to live for the Lord? They're out there in the world. And yes, they are saved. They have received Jesus Christ as Savior, but when you look at their lives, they're living like the world and they're living like the devil. Why is it such? Because they have dropped out of the race. That's what happened. You know, many times I believe it's too convenient to say, well, they're just not saved. Would you agree? I think that's too convenient an excuse sometimes. And I reckon some people are genuinely saved and they're just using the excuse, well, I'm not saved. I think that's nonsense. If someone has personally received Jesus Christ as Savior, it's Christ that saved them. They haven't lost their salvation. You can't do anything to undo it. And some people, so often we say on our part, well, they just mustn't be saved. I think that's too convenient. I believe the warning given here is very serious, that we can drop out of the race. We can drop out of the race and live like a fornicator and a profane person. I believe there are many today who are saved by the grace of God, but they have failed of the grace of God. There came a point in their life where they chose to drop out. And that's not the Lord's fault. That's their choice. A change of values. A change of values. Look what Esau did in verse number 16. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. What was his birthright? Now remember, Esau's birthright was a birthright that he inherited as the eldest son. He was born first, before Jacob. And Jacob grabbed onto Esau's heel as he was born. And that's why he was named Jacob, because he was a heel catcher, a deceiver. But Esau was born first out of the twins. He was the eldest. So he had a right to the greater portion of the financial inheritance of the family. He had that right. Even though the blessing of the inheritance of the future of the nation of Israel went to Jacob, Esau would still have been given the blessing as the elder son of the greater inheritance. There was a difference in those blessings. Now, we'll get to that in a moment, but what did Esau do? He came back one day from hunting. He was already a carnal believer, by the way, and God wanted to deal with him, and he was hungry, and Jacob was cooking because he was a man who enjoyed cooking, and Esau enjoyed hunting, and he didn't catch anything while he was out hunting, so he was starving, and Jacob was cooking, and he said to Jacob, "I want some of that food," and Jacob said, "All right, give me your birthright." Now, Jacob wasn't fair in asking that of him. And yes, Esau was in a vulnerable position. But who would agree with me this morning that Esau still had a choice? Amen? He would have still had a choice. He could have gone home to Mum and said, "Mum, is there anything on the stove? Is there anything I can eat?" Like our kids and teenagers ask us. "Mum, is there something?" And she wouldn't have asked him to sell his birthright. He could have gone home. He could have had some other options. He could have prayed to the Lord to help him to catch something. There could have been many other options. But he sold that which was valuable, which was meaningful. You see how he traded in that which was valuable for that which was just carnal and fleshly? Esau was already dropping out of the race. He was already dropping out of the race. He changed his values. He sold his birthright. And that's really when the problem started. And God wanted to chasten him through the dilemma in his family. God was chastening Esau. "Esau, you need to be chastened. You are not the one to lead my people. Yes, Jacob's not perfect, either is Isaac or Rebekah, but you are not the one. I told your parents that before you were born." And Esau could have turned to the Lord and received his grace, but he despised Jacob. He despised his family. And he experienced a change of values. Lastly, he experienced a change of future. A change of future. Your last blank is the word future. Now let me ask some questions before we close. Was Esau stupid? Yes or no? No. He wasn't stupid. Did Esau not know better? He knew better. He did. Absolutely. I mean, his father was Isaac, a man of faith. Did he not know what was right and wrong? He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. But what did he choose to do? He intentionally chose to drop out of school. He made a choice. He made a choice to drop out of school. And the changes in his goals, his sight, his values changed his future. Esau could have been on this banner this morning. We could have put a face of a man on this banner to represent Esau. Hebrews chapter 11 could have said something like this: by faith, Esau endured the difficult position of the elder serving the younger and obeyed the Lord and became a great and godly man by faith. The Bible could have said something like that. I'm sure the Lord would have put it much better than that. He could have become a godly man. But you see, he dropped out. And he stayed out. It's not only that he dropped out, friends, but he stayed out of the race. He quit. And what was the future for the people, for his future? Notice verse 17. "For you know how that afterward he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." What does that mean? Well, what did Esau do when he found out that Jacob inherited the blessing? What did he do? He wept. He cried. He wept before Isaac and he said, "Do you have a blessing to give me?" And Isaac didn't have one. Not one that Esau wanted. Because what happened to the inheritance that he had originally? He sold it to Jacob. It was gone. He could have still received the blessing of the elder son. But it was too late. There was no place found for repentance. That's what these verses mean. Though he wept, though he sought it carefully with tears, it was too late. It was too late. He could not go back and undo what he did. And friends, when you and I quit the race, we cannot go back and undo what we've done. We might like to think, and it's a false thought, that God can somehow fix our past. No, he cannot. He can't. When you and I drop out of the race, we change our values, we change our goals, we lose our sight, friends, we will do things that have consequences for the rest of our lives. That's the example of Esau. That's the example God gives us. Yes, God can bring us back into the race. And I'll end with that in a moment. But friends, the consequences of our choices are lifelong. They even impact eternity. And Esau genuinely wept because he realized that it was too late to undo what he had done. The consequences of our decisions are beyond our ability to see and to change, except, and here's the point that I want to end with, except through the mercy and the grace of God. You see, the good news is, you don't have to live the rest of your life as a dropout. Amen? That's the blessing of the Christian race. You don't have to live the rest of your life as a dropout. Look, we'll all fail at times, will we not? We will all fall. And there may be some of you that have dropped out of the race. But the good news is, by the mercy and grace of God, we can re-enroll. Yes, we cannot change the past. And let that be a warning to us not to drop out of the race again. But we can, by God's grace, re-enroll in the race. But what do we need to do? Well, friends, we need to come back to the master teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to confess our sins like David of old. Amen? Psalm 51, if you're not sure what to say to the Lord, go to Psalm 51 and confess your sins to the Lord as a Christian. You see, David knew what the problem was. It was his sins. And so often we come to the Lord weeping, but it's not because we realize we've offended God because we're sorry about what happened to us. That's not repentance. That's just selfishness. We're sorrowing about what we've lost. We're not sorrowing that our sins have broken the heart of God. And until you and I are willing to come back to the Master, we cannot re-enroll in the race. Until you and I are willing to confess those sins and say, Lord, forgive me for the bitterness. Forgive me for the anger. Forgive me for the immorality. Lord, forgive me for my sins. We can't re-enroll. But when we do, we can. But let me warn you, God is going to test the genuineness of that repentance. He will. He'll say, bring forth fruit of repentance. And what will he do? Well, let me say this. God will have you to go back to the ones that you have offended, to the ones that you have sinned against, and apologize to them for what your example of dropping out and quitting has done to them. You might say, well, Pastor, that's impossible. I could never do that. Well, you can by the grace of God. See, a Christian who still holds on to that bitterness is still out of the race. And until you and I say sorry to the Lord and sorry to others, we cannot make things right. There was a path for Esau. Even when he dropped out of the race, he could have come back to the Lord, but he chose not to. Let me encourage you, don't be an Esau this morning. It's the stirring truth, isn't it? Out of all the examples of faith, there's one that God says, don't follow this example. Beware, lest any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Thank God, the grace of God will never fail us. Amen? Christian, are you in the race this morning? Or have you dropped out? Perhaps God is calling you to re-enroll in the school of faith. Amen? Thank God we can. I'm thankful that I can. That time and time again, when I drop out in my heart, I can come back to the Lord and run the race that is set before all of us. Let me encourage you. Don't drop out. Stay in the race. And if you have, let me encourage you to come back to the Lord, because the consequences are too great if we don't.